Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 124 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there, and leave a review once you're on that page. Also, find us on audioboom.com, too, and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Let's get into it right now. Thunder beat the Kings in Sacramento, 122-118 tonight. I'm recording this late night in Sacramento, as I usually do when I'm on the road, from my hotel room. They're now 25-17 on the year. Westbrook, 36 points, 11 boards, 10 assists, 7 turnovers, 20th triple-double of the year. The over-under from Vegas preseason was 20.5 triple-doubles for him. Pretty sure he's going to hit the over. Pretty confident he's going to end up hitting the over. My preseason prediction, when asked how many triple-doubles I was going to have when I did my like over-under column, I bet the under. Well, didn't bet the under, but predicted the under in my preseason over-under column, and I said I thought he would get 20. So I was obviously right on the fence about that. And I thought like 20 was like being bold. It would have been the most since Wilt Chamberlain, since like 1968, who had 31 that year. And I thought that was being bold. He had 18 last year. I was like, well, no way he gets to 18, because that was absurd that he got to 18 last year. And now he's at 20, and we're 42 games into the season. So just shows the numbers that he's putting up right now are just otherworldly. Enes Kanter, season high, 29 points, 12 boards, 7 of them offensive. Oladipo had 23, 14 of them in the second quarter. Oladipo and Kanter combined for 26 of the Thunder's 31 points in the second quarter. Abrines had 13 off the bench. I'll leave with the news on Steven Adams. Adams and DeMarcus Cousins got like tied up under the basket. Cousins kind of tossed him to the ground. Adams hit his head. The Thunder said initially he's being evaluated for concussion-like symptoms. Billy Donovan said after the game he had concussion-like symptoms, but it had not been diagnosed as a concussion. Now, by the time you're listening to this, maybe by the time I'm even recording this, but I haven't heard anything about it, maybe we have news on whether it was or wasn't ruled a concussion. Normally, the way that works is he underwent tests after the game. He's going to undergo tests again in the morning, regardless of what the diagnosis is after the game, whether it's diagnosed a concussion or not a concussion. He's going to undergo tests again the next morning just to be safe, and then the Thunder move on from there. No idea what his status is for the Clippers on Monday. Can't know until we know what that diagnosis is, so there's no point in even speculating on it. Andre Roberson did also. He said he stubbed his toe during the game, and he said he seemed to be in a lot of pain. He said he was in a lot of pain. He was, like, distraught because he's a huge Cowboys fan, too. So he was distraught after that game, after the Cowboys lost to the Packers on a last-second field goal to get eliminated from the playoffs. So he was not in a good mood after the game either because he's, like, a massive Cowboys fan. But he seemed to be in pain. He also said that he will play, that he'll play through it. It's just pain. And he did say now maybe something changes or whatever it is. But as of now, Andre Roberson said he'll play when the Thunder play the Clippers on Monday night. We'll start with the good. Russell Westbrook, second half was awesome after a kind of underwhelming first half. He had an incredible dunk. He really did a great job facilitating the Thunder offense. He had some awesome hookups with Kanter, who was great. He was so good filling in for Adams. He was great in the second quarter before Adams went down. I think he had 14 come halftime. He had 10 or 12 in the second quarter. And then he really went off in the second half also when Adams was out. He had to guard Boogie Cousins. A lot of what Billy Donovan was talking about after the game, what Russell Westbrook was talking about after the game, is how good his defense has been. I don't know if I buy that necessarily. I don't know if his defense has been great. He's definitely a better defender than he was 2 years ago. Like, there was even a possession on Monday night where, like, Darren Collison had him isolated. And I think 2 years ago, no question, Darren Collison gets a layup on that situation. Or ends up, like, you know, crossing him over and getting a wide-open shot or something like that. And Cantor actually stuck in front of him. Like, Cantor was on an island, and he stuck in front of him, and that's just not something that he does. I think he definitely does a better job reading ball screens now than he used to. And he plays hard. He fights hard. Like, post-defense has never quite been his issue. And Cousins wasn't getting good post position on him. Now, part of that, DeMarcus Cousins just looked tired on Sunday night. He just looked tired. He wasn't getting lift on his jump shot. He wasn't sprinting back on defense. The Kings' transition defense for the first 2.5 quarters was a disaster. The Kings had one of the worst transition defense possessions I've ever seen. After a made basket, Russell Westbrook caught the inbounds. Almost no one ran back on defense. One guy jogged. Russell Westbrook realized it and just sprinted down the court and made a layup, and that was it. Like, it was horrific. And then the next two possessions they scored transition layups off of Sacramento misses. The Kings are not known for their transition defense. It's one of the reasons why they're a bottom five defense in terms of points per possession, but that was bad. But Cantor's defense has been part of what's made him more playable. You look at the breakdown, the first 28 games of the year, Cantor played under 20 minutes 16 times. The last 14 games, he's only played under 20 minutes once. So you can see how different that is in terms of the way Billy Donovan is deploying him. Whether he's that much better on defense or not, Donovan thinks he's been better, or at least Donovan thinks that he's been good enough to where he can play. Now, some of that has to do with his offense getting better too, right? Because during that stretch, he's been passing so much better, and he's been so important for the Thunder offense. And in the last 15 games, the Thunder have like a 114 offensive rating when he's on the floor, which, like, to put that in perspective, that's better than the Warriors' offensive rating on the entire season. So he's really been that important to their offense. When he's on the floor, they are an elite offense, which is something that they just can't say when they're off the floor. When he's off the floor, they're a below-average offense. That's really the difference that he makes offensively at this point because of his passing and his scoring and because he's been one of the best post-up threats in the entire league because he can shoot, because he hurts you in the pick and roll, all these different things. And he was great in all of that offensively in this game. He had played a really awesome offensive game. Passing, he had some turnover issues early, some sloppy plays, and then he was just great for the rest of the game. Offensively, he's become so important for this team. He's been really big. Some Twitter questions. Actually, before we get to Twitter questions, we got to talk about that last like minute and a half. The Thunder were up 114 to 102 with a minute 10 left, and they fouled two jump shooters, and they turned it over, and that was... They should have won this game by a ton. They were up, what, 17 points at one point, or whatever it was. Like, they should have won this game by a lot. They didn't. They won by 4, and it was because of, really, that final stretch. They were bad. Like, fouling Cousins on that 3-point shot to send Cousins to the line with whatever it was, under a minute left. Like, that was really bad basketball. Some of the turnovers were bad basketball. The open 3 off the offensive rebound was bad basketball. It was okay. They played really well. They played well for 46.5 minutes. And then that last minute and a half almost overrode it. I don't think it's necessarily indicative of anything moving forward. I think they just kind of fell apart. Not enough to hurt them. They'll probably forget about it and move on because that's just what you do when it doesn't hurt you in the final score, right? You don't let that kind of stuff get you down when it's a minute and a half of bad basketball and you played pretty good basketball for 46.5, but that does need to be acknowledged. First Twitter question. Then we'll go over some stuff for Monday night's game against the Clippers. Second night of a back-to-back for the Thunder on Monday night. First one's from Steven Lutzky. Sabonis has really struggled from deep lately. Think he's officially hit the rookie wall. I think that depends on your definition of the rookie wall. He's making no more threes. Maybe he's tired. They're 40-something games into the season. This is the most consecutive games he's played. Europe, they don't play a bunch of games, and he obviously didn't play much. College, he'd be done by this total of games. He started every game this year. He's playing legitimate amount of minutes. If he's tired and you think he's tired because he hasn't played this many games before, because he's never really logged this many miles, and you think that's what the rookie wall is, then okay, I can buy that it's the rookie wall. If you think it's regression, like he was shooting 44, 43% from three, and you think, well, he wasn't actually a 44% shooter. He's really a 34 to 35% three-point shooter. And you think this is just regression. That by the end of the year, he's going to finish around 35 because at this point in his life, he's a 35% three-point shooter. And he's never been a high-volume three-point shooter before this year. Shooting 35% from three as a 20-year-old big man rookie is still impressive, especially for a guy who never took threes even in college. That would be a major developmental year for him. And if he's a 35% shooter, he's going to end up progressing there by the end of the year. And this is just a major slump on the way to that. If that's what you think, and you think that's what the rookie wall is when a guy gets off to a hot start, then yeah, I can buy that's the rookie wall too. If you think the rookie wall is, which I think is what it is, this is what I think people commonly refer to as the rookie wall. The league has figured him out and he's not adjusting. I don't think it's that. He's not being guarded differently. No one's guarding him differently. It's all the same stuff. No one's like following him now. It's not like, often when you see a guy playing really well to start off a career as a rookie, and then defenses change their attitude toward them and they start guarding you differently or more or harder, where they start talking about you in scouting reports or you know, talking about you in the film room leading up to games or whatever it is, and you can't adjust. That's usually what the rookie wall is. I think that's what it's commonly referred to as. I don't think that's happening. Guys still, when he pops off a ball screen with Russell Westbrook, two guys are still following Russell Westbrook, and Sabonis is still open on the wing. When he puts up the threes he's putting up, they're still open. They're still good looks. They're just not going in. He's missing them for whatever reason. Maybe it's just a cold streak. Maybe it's like I talked about. Maybe he's tired and he's not getting his legs under him, so he's missing shots. Totally possible. I buy that. Maybe it's a random cold streak. Maybe it was inevitable. But I don't think it's a failure to adjust to defenses because I just haven't seen anything differently from the way the defenses are guarding him. He's actually getting to the free throw line hardly a lot, but he's actually getting to a little bit more than earlier. I think he's been more aggressive going to the basket. Tonight he actually went right a couple of times. Now he didn't finish with his right hand, but he dribbled with his right hand going to the basket and then went up lefty. Like, he's doing a little bit more stuff. They're posting him up a little bit more. In first quarters, never after first quarters, but they're posting him up a little bit more because they were never doing it before. So I don't think it's a rookie wall. For the most part, they're using him the same, and then they're giving him a little bit more freedom, a little bit more responsibilities. The threes just aren't going in, for whatever the reason. But it's not because defenses are guarding him differently. Next, from Kyle Platt, who says that I never answer his questions, which I don't think is true, but make sure it's not true right now. Golden State gave the league trouble with their small lineup. Is there a lineup with this roster that could be similar? Like, barring a blockbuster trade for a superstar, what do you think Billy can do to cause matchup issues with this team? So I'm just going to answer this with the roster as constituted. No trades for even role players or whatever it is, because I think what's interesting is two straight games now, Billy Donovan has gone to a three-guard lineup, and he played it against the Kings with Grant at the four. And I think that's the one that if Cameron Payne is good, if Cameron Payne is productive, that's the one that could work for them. You got three ball handlers with Russell Westbrook, Cameron Payne, Victor Oladipo. You got guys who can switch on defense. Now, Cameron Payne is not really a defensive player. That's really what your flaw is. Because the reason that Warriors, look, I'm not comparing this to the quality of the Warriors lineup. There's nothing they can do to be the quality of like a small Warriors lineup. But I think you can play those guys with Steven Adams and defensively, it could work okay. Now, Cameron Payne is not really going to be a switchy defender. But Russell Westbrook, when he's going hard on defense, can be a switchy defender. Victor Oladipo is that. Jeremy Grant is certainly that. Steven Adams is that in a center. So I think you can get away with that stuff. I think you can run well in transition. All those guys are going to move well in transition. I think that adds some shooting for you, too. Now, you don't necessarily need to have Cameron Payne out there, either. You can have Abrines. It's going to take away ball handling a little bit, but it's probably going to add you some spacing, probably going to add you a little bit more defense, probably going to add you a little bit more athleticism, although I think Abrines and Payne are probably the two guys, maybe the two slower guards on the team. But I think Abrines might give you a little bit more in that aspect with, you know, the fact that Payne is basically still in preseason, right? He had 6 to 8 preseason games, and Payne just played his fifth game. This is basically preseason for him. He's still getting his footing and working stuff out and finding stuff out. It's excusable for him to look like he needs time to come back. And Abrines is playing pretty well lately. He's doing a good job. So maybe do that with Abrines. But I like those lineups with Grant at the four. I'm into those, even if it's not necessarily spacing. I'm into Grant at the four and Kanter at the five. Grant can pop, or Cantor can pop out. He can roll. Grant can protect, provide some rim protection for Cantor. If guys get by him or something like that in pick and roll, Grant could be a weak side rim protector, kind of like what it was ideally supposed to be with Cantor and Ibaka, but it never really worked. The issue with Grant at the four is the rebounding. Jeremy Grant should be a better rebounder. And it's not just because he's a good leaper. Like, I've never said that, like, Gerald Green should be a good rebounder. But, like, Jeremy Grant has shown no problem with being physical. And he's long and he's athletic. And he goes hard for the ball. He just never boxes out. He just doesn't really box. And that's kind of the problem. He should be a better rebounder than he is. But I think that's some form of those lineups is something that could cause matchup issues for some team. Now, I don't know if you want a matchup like that against Golden State. Maybe Golden State, when they play them on Wednesday, maybe Golden State's one of those teams where Jeremy Grant plays the five. Maybe Donovan's done that a couple of times. Maybe that's the thing that you do against Golden State. Grant goes the five against Draymond Green in those small lineups. Maybe that's what you do. Maybe he tries that. But although going small against Golden State doesn't always work well, maybe Billy Donovan goes the other way. It's also hard to say when we don't know the status for Steven Adams. Before Golden State on Wednesday, though, the Thunder have the Clippers. So they have the Clippers Monday night, second night of a back-to-back. The Clippers lost six straight to close out 2016. They've won six straight to start 2017. It's been an easy schedule, though. They beat Phoenix. They beat Memphis. They beat Sacramento. They beat Miami. They beat Orlando. They beat the Lakers. Only one of those teams that is over 500 is Memphis. And there was only one of those on the road. Sacramento was on the road. Every other one of those wins. Phoenix, Memphis, Miami, Orlando, and the Lakers were all at home. So it's not like it's been the most impressive six-game winning streak ever, but it's big for them because they have like a 10 out of 11 road trip coming up in like three or four games for them. So they got to win any game they can right now. They're 28-14 on the year. DeAndre Jordan, man, gets better in the second half every single year. I used to think he was just making a leap every year in the second half. I guess he's just a second-half player. You see it more in baseball than in basketball. Guys who are consistently, like, better second-half players, like Mark Teixeira, just April was always bad. Robinson Cano, April usually bad. These are my Yankees examples. DeAndre Jordan, though, every year, second-half better. He kind of hits a groove in the second half, and it kind of started last nine games. 14.4 rebounds, 14.4 points, 17.4 rebounds, 520 rebound games in that time. Now, that probably has something to do with the fact that that's right around when the Clippers put Austin Rivers in the lineup. They've been going super small with their starting lineup, so more available rebounds for DeAndre Jordan. Also against easier teams with bad pick-and-roll defense, so he's scoring more. Teams he can jump over, that kind of stuff. I mean, I wonder how the DeAndre Jordan-Chris Paul pick-and-roll is going to look if Steven Adams doesn't play. Again, like there's no word on whether Steven Adams is going to play or not. There's no reason to speculate on whether he is or isn't. When I put out a call for questions from Twitter on this game, people ask me, is Adams going to play? I'm like, why is my guess any better than yours? You have exactly as much information as I do. I've told you the information that I have, and I am not staring at the medical data, and I would not know how to evaluate it if I were. So I don't know if Adams is going to play or not. If he doesn't play and Cantor starts, you know, the Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan pick and roll is maybe the best 1-5 pick and roll in the whole league. It's really like that. The threat of that lob is just horrifying for so many reasons, with the way it basically spaces the floor from the inside out because defense is collapsing on DeAndre and nobody wants to get lobbed on like that. Nobody does. And Paul is so good at throwing that lob and finding him and pulling up from 14 feet on the right elbow. If you have two guys go over to DJ, I wonder how that's going to work. Roberson usually guards Redick. Maybe he guards Paul this time. I wonder, you know, if Adams doesn't go, I mean, like maybe you want one of your two best defenders in that Paul Jordan pick and roll at all times. And if Adams doesn't go, maybe that means Roberson goes on Paul. So it's going to be interesting following defensive lineup matchups and that kind of stuff. Just to see how the Thunder would compensate if Steven Adams weren't there. Again, don't know if that's going to be the case or not. I'm curious to see defensive matchups on the other end, too, because the Clippers have been using a different starting lineup. Like I said, Austin Rivers is a starter now. He's started for nine straight games. First off, Austin Rivers is, like, playing the best basketball of his entire life. 16.6 points since becoming the starter 9 games ago on 45% shooting. He's shooting well from 3 this year. He's like facilitating better than he ever has. He's not a facilitator, but he's facilitating better than he ever has. Bamute usually guards Russell Westbrook. When the Thunder and the Clippers last played, the Thunder destroyed them. But the Clippers didn't have Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. So that'll happen. That was New Year's Eve game. That was the 6th game of the Clippers' 6-game losing streak to close 2016. And they're 6-0 since that game. No Blake Griffin, no Chris Paul will do that to you. This time, I wonder, because Bamute's been playing the 4. And I wonder exactly what's going to happen with defensive lineups. You're going to have him guard Russell Westbrook as much? Maybe. It's definitely possible. He's their most versatile defender. He's really underrated. He's basically their Andre Robertson. They lucked out with him. They may not have even, he was a training camp invite. He was supposed to be on the Kings. And then the Kings reneged on the deal. There was a whole thing. They said he failed his physical. He said he shouldn't have failed his physical. There was a whole deal. He ended up signing with the Clippers after that as just a training camp invite, making the team in training camp. He was going up against Chuck Hayes for a roster spot. Now he's a starter and he guards the other team's best player every night, whether he's a point guard or a 2 or a 3 or a 4. He guards Anthony Davis and he guards Russell Westbrook. It's like amazing how, in some ways, how the Clippers lucked out with the situation of getting Bamute, because he's really important for what they do. But I wonder with the situation that he's in right now, who he's going to be guarding and how they're going to use him, because now he's not a 3, he's a 4 for them. And he's really important to their defense. He's really important to what they do. And they've been defending really well over this winning streak. So that'll be interesting to follow also. I'm going to close up now because it's late and I'm tired. You can remember though, before I go, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. And you can head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you do have questions or you want to call me out on your bad jokes, on my bad jokes, not your bad jokes, email me. LockedOnThunder@gmail.com. Hit me up on Twitter @FredCats. You can find more of my work at NormanTranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site, and you can see what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Back with you tomorrow after the Clippers game. Probably going to have a guest, although not 100% confirmed on that. But I'll likely have a guest, just be talking to one of the Clippers writers at the arena after the game. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.